Welcome to another episode of Wing It Motown Radio. We are back. It's been a while. Hockey season is upon us. Actually, starts when you're listening to it. It's going to be starting today. But we've got a few people to talk to today. I'm your host, Kyle, as always, because Jeff quit. And because he's ugly. Doesn't have a face for radio, I guess. We've got JJ, as always, who is a personal favorite of mine. And then we've got Mikey, and we've got, who else do we have? What's Peter. Your name? Peter.
Yeah.
How could I forget Peter? Also known as Jimmy. Call him Jimmy. Call him Peter. Don't call him late for dinner.
Oh boy.
It's been a while. Has it not?
Yes, it has.
We're going to stay away from singing Stain songs on this episode. That'll be for later on in the season when we're all really emo. We have a lot to talk about because it's been a while, obviously, and there's been a whole crap ton of stuff that's happened in the past couple of days, and not very much of it is stuff to write home about. We're going to try and keep it non-whiny for you guys, but I guess we're just going to break right into it. But before I do that, how you guys been lately?
That's the greatest night ever.
All right. This is probably about the second or third time, fourth maybe, that trying to record this because I just can't keep it together. What about you guys?
I'm keeping it together very well.
I promise to make that a trying task on you tonight.
Okay,
thank keeping you. It together.
You're welcome.
You just thank me and Scotch for that. Yeah.
We don't drink. This is family show.
Prashanth does. Peter, every time he's Peter, on.
No, that's just how he is.
You haven't earned what Prashanth has earned.
Yeah, no, this is true. This is vastly
Prashanth is basically
true.
Just like when he talks, he's like, "I don't fucking care." I mean, you can just tell that he's had a couple.
He was the fuck Toronto one, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was doing better until the last couple of days, but we're gonna be positive.
We're gonna try and go up and not down.
Yes.
JJ, you already said it's the best night ever, as always. So we're just going to break right into it. We're going to kick the door down. We're going to punch holes in the walls. We're going to cry. We're going to laugh. We're going to have some fun. So we're going to just basically, let's just break right off into the Red Wings. Everything. We got roster moves. We've lost players. We've got basically a good feel of what the team's going to look like when they open up the season. Basically just everything in between. So we're going to try and go through it all and not spend 4 hours on it because there is really a lot. I guess the first one we need to talk about is the roster moves and the waiver losses. So basically the Red Wings have already, in the past 2 days, have already lost two prospects. I mean, you know, they lost, I don't know if you want to call Polkinen a prospect, but I still think he is. And I still think Firk was a prospect. They didn't play an NHL game, you know, a certain amount of NHL games. They're still a prospect to me. They lost Firk, who never played for the team. You know, it is what it is. You know, I thought Firk was a good player. He was starting to break out of his shell. You know, he had that 27 goal season last year at the AHL. I thought he could have been serviceable as a bottom six player, who is sheltered and maybe gets some power play time. And then you got Polkinen. Everybody should know who Polkinen is, what he's all about. I don't care if you like him or if you don't like him, but it doesn't matter. The fact is that you lost two young, cost-controlled, team-friendly contracts for free. And it seems like asset management is a little bit a blunder. And it's kind of frustrating because it's just it all happened so quickly. So how do you guys feel about it? JJ, why don't you go first? Because I know you are opinionative towards this and you have feelings.
I'm actually calmed down a lot, but like you just wonder, were they honestly worried that like they were like, okay, you want to you know, make the roster, get everything set, do all this shit. Like, I get like Firk isn't that big of a loss. I mean, he had the ECHL stink on him. Like, he was like just starting to come around, real good AHL year. You know, everybody's terrified he's gonna go score 30 in Carolina. But whatever, you know, I still don't want to put him like necessarily in the lineup every night. You know, Polkinen, I can't say I didn't want Polkinen on the team. I can't fit him in the top nine. I don't know why it became an argument of like top six, bottom six all of a sudden, because like it hasn't been top six, bottom six for years. And there's just a lot of people who still believe like you really just have to have a grind line, which I think is horseshit. And that's what bothers me. If Pulkkinen was going to end up being like the 13th forward and not even playing, then whatever. But like the OMG line is there and they are set, and regardless, like, I don't get, like, were they afraid somebody was going to pick up Steve Ott on waivers? Like, were they really terrified that, like, after all of that, like, I really wanted to play for Detroit and kind of end my career there, and, you know, I took an $800,000 deal, like, you know, all the goals he scored in preseason, Boston's going to be like, oh, shit, we got to have Steve Ott. It just doesn't sit right with me, you know?
Right. I agree. I think, you know, the fact that you need this grind line is complete BS. I mean, it was so funny because you saw that line play really well in the preseason, and you saw like other lines, like with Mantha, had to see you. They didn't play. I mean, they didn't knock the lights out or anything like that. It was just funny, and it made me roll my eyes, of course. So I don't know. I think it's stupid. If you would have kept Firk and Pulkkinen and you would have built a fourth line with them, a scoring line, you'd have a line that was more cheaper. And, oh, you wouldn't be in this little cap crunch where you have $1,000 wiggle room. So, you know, that's a big one right there. It seems so unnecessary and unneeded. And it's like, what happened to the times where the Red Wings would put those young players, those skill players on the fourth line and start developing them that way? It sucks. And, you know, it begs the question, who is going to be next? Like, who is the next victim of that? And I don't even want to say victim, because obviously Pulkkinen and Firk are going to get a shot in the NHL now. Firk is going to play with Carolina, I believe. And I think Pulkkinen, I don't know how he's going to do, but I'm sure that he'll get a nice look in Minnesota. Peter, what about you? Yeah. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head for why I think people are reacting this way. You know, I think like JJ said, you know, when you evaluate the people we lost, you know, just those two individual players, it's not the end of the world. But I think it's more like, if you look at the way our roster is constructed, it's not too hard. I mean, you're not kind of like, you know, looking for negative scenarios or like looking for worst case scenarios to see that, you know, this could be the future. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, in the next couple of years, I mean, this, it's kind of set up for this to happen over and over again. And I think that's the reason that people are upset, is that, I don't know, like, it kind of comes back to like, it seems like this didn't have to happen. You know, it seems like this is like, we did this to ourselves rather than like, oh, well, I guess that's the way the system works. It's like, well, we went out and did this. Like, you know, some of the commenters were talking about it. And I forget exactly like what the conversation was, but, you know, it's like, you know, you realize that, you know, we signed some of these contracts that we didn't have to. And the other thing too, because like, I know, you know, we said we're trying to, you know, stay positive. So I'm going to try to kind of combine my complaining into, you know, so that I can be positive later. But I mean, I think it's just, it's like a weird way of thinking. Like, you know, for me, you see a guy last year, you know, in the time he was on the team, like Athanasiou, you know, he's obviously incredibly fast. He's like a game changer. If he's killing penalties, you know, he has a hugely high chance of drawing penalties. He can score, you know, I mean, like when you see a player like that, like, to me, what you think is like, how can I fit him on my team? You know, like he's one of the players you want on your team. And it seems like we're not identifying, you know, the players we really want to be on our team and saying, okay, with these guys, how can we win? You know, let's build a system around the talent we have. Instead, we go and we get, you know, three guys that are going to sit on the fourth line and take time away from them. And I think, you know, I mean, like, that's my issue, I think.
Pretty valid. I think that, you know, Athanasiou, obviously, with the speed, can draw a lot of penalties. And, you know, it's an evolving league. Speed definitely kills. I mean, you look at the team that just won the Stanley Cup, and even the team that they played in the Stanley Cup Finals, they had a glut of young, fast players, and, you know, blended in with those, you know, the veteran type players that, you know, that get you there, basically. Like, you look at your Matt Cullen, you look at your, I mean, I guess you say Joe Thornton, but he's still kind of elite status, I would say, Patrick Marleau. You know, those veteran players that will just kind of put you over the top. You really do need to rely on your speed and your youth and your ability to utilize an entry-level contract. And it seems like the Red Wings just have no idea how to utilize that. The only one they utilize, they've utilized like fully, is Dylan Larkin. And they are very, very fortunate for that contract. Right? They should be right now because of how well he's performed and how cheap he is for them right now. So, you know, they really need to take a step back and take a look at these things. You know, Mantha, who I thought probably deserved a roster spot more than Athanasiou might have, just because I thought he looked really good in preseason. You know, he got sent down to Grand Rapids. And it just, it begs the question, just, you know, why? And I know there's too many forwards, but you have these guys like Drew Miller, Steve Ott. I mean, is Steve Ott really going to do more than what Anthony Mantha could do? No, absolutely not. The only thing more he's going to do is try and take someone's head off or stick his knee out and try and take someone out of the game. And people are going to say that he's an energy guy, but I mean, whatever. It doesn't exist. Energy comes from speed. It comes from agility. It comes from scoring goals. It comes from offense, sustaining offensive pressure. That is energy. Being pinned in your own zone and just plugging it out and trying to make it by while you're getting just caved by another team's top line. I don't see how that creates energy. I'm against it. I don't like this. I don't like what the team is doing in an evolving league. So it sucks, and I'm upset. But, you know, it is what it is. We're going into the season. I'm just excited to watch the hockey again, watch the Red Wings play. But it's been a difficult journey to get there. But moving on to other roster stuff, you know, we're looking at defensive units. Obviously, Cronwall is out. He's on IR. He can come back basically whenever he wants, whenever he feels good, because it was retroactive back to September, was it 20th or something? Somewhere around there, somewhere in that window. So you're looking at the reported lines basically where you've got DeKeyser is your number one. You got DeKeyser, Marchenko. Was it Smith, Green, or was it? It was for the most recent skate. It was Ouellette, Green, and then it was Eriksson, Sproul. And then Smith took the day off because he just wasn't feeling well or something. He got banged up. So essentially, one of Ouellette or Sproul will get pulled out of the lineup. I assume it's probably going to be Sproul. But the defense doesn't look nearly as bad as I thought it would. And I'm really happy that they're relegating Eriksson to the third pair. So that's one positive, I think, that really people aren't really paying attention to right now, because obviously everything else is worse because you're losing whatever. But JJ, yeah, I know that you feel a little bit good at that. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the funniest possible narratives we could have is, look at the defense. I'm not dour on them. I think that Eriksson still being in the lineup is a mistake. Even with Cronwall hurt, I would rather just go with DeKeyser, Marchenko, Smith, Green, Ouellette, Sproul. But whatever, it's that's just going to be a losing battle forever. I think the defense might honestly be better this year than it was last year, even though it's super unchanged. And I don't want to say that losing Quincy is such a great thing, because I do think that he had found a good role, but this will give us an opportunity to, like, really show it. Like, I think Marchenko being on the top pair is bold and risky. It's and, bold, and yeah. I like that look. And one of the most hilarious things that could possibly happen is there is a very real chance that what we're going to see through the first 20 games in the season is we're going to have offensive lines who perhaps, or forward lines who are perhaps not exactly doing great, getting bailed out by their defense. And that would be, based on the way the Red Wings have operated the last few years, doing the complete opposite. That would be hilarious to me, honestly.
Yeah, no, for sure. What about Mikey, you got any thoughts on the defensive pairings or anything like that? I know obviously we haven't seen them perform in NHL action, that is a preseason yet, but what are your thoughts? Do you think it's going to be good? Do you think it's going to be the same? Do you think it's going to be worse?
I don't think it's necessarily going to be any worse, but
yeah, just
what JJ was saying with the mix-ups that they're doing, and not that anything is not where it should be, but we don't exactly know that this is where guys are going to stay with DeKaiser and Marchenko on the top pairing and then Smith Green and mash up round up on the bottom three. But it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch for the start of the season. I mean, they're essentially on the roster telling Danny DeKaiser, hey, you have to find a way to move the puck, and telling Alexei Marchenko, hey, keep doing what you were doing at the end of the year, but now you got to do it against, you know, Sidney Crosby and Steven Stamkos instead of Brian Rust and, you know, X other third line guy.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think Marchenko was seasoned in the World Cup of Hockey pretty well to play some top competition. So that's a positive I drew from that. But go ahead, sorry, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Smith Green pairing, I think they're just trying to set up an overload of offense for Larkin's essentially going to be taking the 2C role. In theory, mm-hmm. right? I thought I saw Franz yeah. Nielsen was getting set up as the 1C.
Yep.
So it looks like they're trying to take preventative steps with the kind of mistake-laden roster that they put together at free agency, okay. if that makes any sense. So they're,
no, I think it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they're trying to avoid the sophomore slump. They're trying to make guys take strides, but it's just weird to see them do something in the realm of right there when during free agency it was just kind of like, oh, all right.
No, for sure. I agree. I do think that taking the training wheels off of Larkin and getting him his own line on the second line, however they plan on deploying it, I think it's a good idea. If he screws up, then you've got a cushion. You can move someone else around. Because yeah. Zetterberg's playing wing, but, you know, whatever. Peter, you, going back to the defense, your take on what the projected lines could be, and if you could pull anybody out, would it be Ouellette? Would it be Sproul? Obviously, it'd be Eriksson, but that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I obviously, I mean, you know, that's, you know, getting rid of Eriksson would be, you know, the biggest you know, the biggest trade deadline acquisition we could do. I don't know. I mean, I do think it's good that he's starting off on the third pair. I think, you know, if we are going to see the end of him or see him, you know, as the seventh defenseman, I mean, I think that's a good sign towards it. I'm not saying I think that's going to happen, but I mean, like, mm-hmm. you know, it at least kind of indicates, okay, well, you know, maybe he should be playing less time. I don't know. I mean, I think it's that, you know, like you said, I think it's that, you know, Ouellette, Sproul, you know, maybe sometime during the season, Jensen gets a chance, you know, kind of see who fits best in that role, you know, that other third pair defenseman. You know, and is Smith going to stay on? Is he going to stay on the second pair? You know, because it looked for, you know, a while in the preseason they were, you know, kind of auditioning him up at the top. And you know, I think we've been talking about for a while. You know, we think that at least there's a chance that he could, you know, he could really be a top pair guy. You know, so I'd be interested in seeing that. You know, like give him some time to either prove that he can be, or for us to see that, you know, maybe that's not where he's going to end up.
Yeah, I think it's interesting with Smith because I think he definitely, it's time, you know, they got to figure out what the hell they're going to do with him. You know, he's not going to keep taking, I don't know, like, you know, these, it's obviously it's time. Are they going to commit to him or, you know, because there's no more bridge contract. It's put up or shut up, basically. So I think they definitely do need to figure out what they got, what they have in him and give him a little bit of a little bit of a leash now. He's like, okay, we'll put you in the second pair. We'll give you some power play time, some actual power play time. You know, we'll give you a look on the first pair. And if he comes out and he's the Red Wings' best defenseman, like everybody has been screaming that he is, then you go ahead and you throw him that 4 or 5 year deal basically. So I don't know. But, I mean, you also have to be careful because the Red Wings aren't really poised to throw another huge contract out there.
Well, you know, the conspiracy angle with Smith is that they're playing him with Green to try to get him as many points as they can. And then when Cronwall's ready to come back, it'll make it just easier to trade the guy that's pending UFA.
Is that an actual conspiracy?
It is now. I don't know if I've necessarily
hate you so much.
I don't know if I've necessarily seen it anywhere, but it does make a lot of sense, doesn't it? Like they didn't want to pick between Ouellette and Sproul. They're like, fuck it, they can do whatever. Let's just showcase Smith. And I've talked every year about them showcasing a guy for a trade early in the season, and they just never ever do that. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, if that is an actual thing that actually pans out happening, great. Then that means the team is accepting that they need to start selling some things and maybe poise a little bit of a rebuild. Because at that point,
garbage return for it, though, you know, they will.
What did we say we were going to do before the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
We're positivity.
Gonna so they are going to trade Smith for Trouba 2 weeks into the season. I don't know how they're going to make the cap work. It'll work, though.
It'll be awesome.
Smith and Jimmy Howard for Trouba and Hellebuck. Trust me.
You heard it here. Your first JJ the insider. Anyways, I guess if you just kind of backpedal to what we saw in the World Cup of Hockey from the new guys, you got Thomas Vanek and Franz Nielsen. I think Franz Nielsen is great. I think he looked really good in the World Cup of Hockey. Is he going to be? I don't know. Yet, if I think he's going to be able to keep the ship afloat as a 1C, but I still think that he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And whether he gets relegated to the second line and they bump Larkin up, whatever, I'm happy to have him at least for the next 2 or 3 years. And then after that, I probably won't like him anymore. But and then you've got Vanek, who I don't know, I guess a rich man's Polkinen with a little bit more experience. I thought he made some really nice plays in preseason, but all in all, he's going to be a third line winger with a power play specialist kind of feel to him. So, and he'll probably also, I don't know if many fans are ready to, are going to like it, but, or that maybe they will, I don't know, but I think he's also going to be one of the guys that might get a scratch here and every day, here and then, you know, like scratch him a game here, wait a week, scratch him again. I think that he might end up in that kind of role. But all in all, I think that they're pretty good. I think it'll be fun to watch. But you know, it just makes you think. You know, would you rather have Vanek there, or would you rather have Polkinen there? Because they essentially traded Vanek for Polkinen.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not that funny. I'm sorry. I'll never ever tell a joke ever again.
Really, no, but it is true. I mean, with the way that it worked out.
No. I hate myself. I wish. Oh, I was supposed to ask.
Don't bother hating yourself, Kyle.
No. Just listen to me real quick. We're going to talk about this. So the Red Wings right now, what do they have? About $1,666 in wiggle room? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even cap space. It's basically, since they set the roster, they set it literally as close as they could to get max LTIR.
Right. So basically what the question is, what would you do with $1,666? I'll go first. I would buy a bus ticket, have everybody get out of the bus, and then I would drive the bus off a cliff.
So you upgraded from a motorcycle?
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'll just go with the bus ticket. Yeah, it's cheaper.
What are you going to do with the other $1,600?
What?
What are you going to do with the other $1,600? Bus tickets don't cost that much,
for the people, I'd be like, here's $20, get off the bus. Here's $10, get the hell off the bus. The rest, I don't know. I'd eat it. I don't know. Shut up.
I would rent a hot air
balloon. Hot air balloon? Would you run it into a mountain?
And no, I'd probably moon a lot of people, though. What are you going to do? I'm going to fucking air balloon. Come get me, assholes.
Oh,
it's the perfect crime.
It really is. Oh, man. What about you, Peter?
I was trying to think of a funny answer, but I ran out of things to run into cliffs or off cliffs or mountains. I'd probably finally get Hamilton tickets. I think $1,600 might be enough to get one.
Oh, that's a solid lame answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, really lame. Very awesome. Yeah,
that's a good answer. That's the problem.
It's a good answer, but it's just like, come on, you don't blow something up, like, you know, like something that doesn't hurt anybody.
Would you at least moon somebody at Hamilton?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying.
Okay, there we go.
That's all JJ gives a shit about. He's the one. Mikey, what about you?
Well, if the focus is to annoy people without hurting them, like JJ's mooning, I'd probably book myself a weekend where the Wings are going into Toronto, and I just wear my Wings shit, and I don't know, maybe like streak into the snow or something in the middle of the city, maybe for the Centennial Classic.
There you go.
So yeah,
terrible, but blessed.
Spend like $600 on all that, and then use the extra $1,000 to bail myself out of Mountie jail.
All right. Real answer for me though, I'd probably buy one of the seats at the Joe.
Like season tickets, or when they actually tear it down.
When they start selling them, I would probably buy one.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And I'd put it in my one bedroom apartment because I live alone, and because I can do that kind of stuff.
Let's see, you're not alone. You have butters.
He doesn't care. What?
I'm trying to remember how high the seat numbers go. Are there any rows that have a seat number 41 for you?
No, definitely not.
You can get me a 20 for Drew Miller, my favorite guy.
Yeah, I could do that.
You could get seat number 8.
I don't like you guys anymore.
Number 3 for Andreas Lilia. I'd buy my $1,600 worth of lavender plants. That's what I'd do.
29 for Steve.
Oh. Lavender is how it's actually pronounced.
Appreciated, JJ.
I don't know. Are there any other roster concerns, roster moves that you guys want to talk about or want to bring up? I mean, obviously, you know, kind of covered everything.
That Nielsen's like coming out at the World Cup because basically nobody paid attention to Long Island, so nobody except for Islanders fans who are going to spend all year like, well, we told you so. We're like, yeah, we don't listen to you. You fuck off. nobody other than Islanders fans like knew how good Nielsen was. So like on July 1st, it was like blasphemy. Like you cannot say he's going to replace Pavel Datsyuk. But honestly, it's no longer blasphemy to say like there's a real good chance that Franz Nielsen can bring more to the Red Wings at this point than Pavel Datsyuk would have been able to this year.
That I'm not
saying it will happen.
Yeah, no, I will label that as a hot take, but it's an acceptable hot take, I think.
If this was Mythbusters, we'd call that plausible.
Not
confirmed, not busted.
I'm not going to get that hot take tattooed on me, but it's an acceptable hot take. You know, it's not like a Steve Simmons hot take, but you know.
Well, no.
We're essentially expecting Nielsen to be able to play a full season where Datsyuk was missing 15 to 20 games every year. So, I mean, there is going to be that factor in it.
Yeah, we pretty much kind of, like, I had accepted going into pretty much every season that Datsyuk isn't going to play 82 games. He's not going to play 75 games. You know, he's going to be a 50-game player, and he'll be effective extremely.
He's healthy at all the right times.
Right, exactly. And, you know, would you rather have that gamble of maybe hopefully... Oh, hi, Butters. Would you rather have that gamble of him maybe being healthy at the right time, or would you rather have a guy like Nielsen who could very potentially be, you know, available and healthy for most of the season? You know, we are so jinxing this right now. God.
You're welcome.
Erickson's hip is going to explode, and the shrapnel is going to get like pop itself into Nielsen's eye.
No, Steve Ott is going to dye his hair, and he's going to get it in his eye, and he's going to go blind, and it's just going to be really bad.
Does Erickson's awful mechanical hip make him the $6 man instead of the $6 million man?
Well, he doesn't get paid $6 million, so.
Yeah, it shouldn't pay him at all.
Wow.
Well,
you have to pay people to work here. It's not communist China.
Yeah, but does what he does qualify as work?
He probably works harder than I do on a normal day, but
American Institute.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so screw the talking about the roster because I'm really sick of it. Let's go around the NHL. Let's talk about a bunch of teams that we really don't care about. You know, what kind of expectations do we have? Let's start in the Atlantic, where we live, where we are at. Personally, and you know, I know we said we're going to be positive and we're going to put on a show and cheer and sing and dance. And but I wholeheartedly believe that the Red Wings are maybe bottom three as of right now. But that can all change. So they are so on the brim of being a wild card team again, or fighting in the basement with Ottawa and, you know, Buffalo or something like that. I just don't really know what to think. I definitely don't think they're going to be on par with Tampa, and I don't think they're going to be on par with Montreal, because I think Montreal, with a healthy Price, and then you've got Radulov coming in, who is going to be a good hockey player unless he just destroys that locker room along with their stupid coach, which actually could happen, which would be funny because I hate the Habs and their fans are insufferable and they deserve it.
Don't forget the most boneheaded trade they ever made.
Oh yeah, and of course, how could I forget trading Shea Weber for PK, or trading PK Subban for Shea Weber? And God, that's just so beautiful. I love that they did that, because I hate having Shea Weber in this division because I hate him. But it gives me another reason, along with the Andrew Shaw trade. Like, I can actually hate the Habs. Like, I actually do not like them. I hate every single part of them at this point. They're not a team like that.
The Habs are the most improved team in the division, though.
Yeah, no, because you got Tampa, who just stayed pretty much the same.
Can you really call the Habs improved, though? I mean, yeah, they added Radulov.
Carey Price back,
Carey Price back, but
Does that really qualify them as an improved team versus performing where they should have been?
I mean,
it's probably just semantics, but
you consider last year, yeah, they improved. Okay. And then, you know, you have Tampa who stayed the same.
Florida, well, they just lost Huberto, but...
Yeah, they just lost Huberto for, what, 3 to 4 months?
They also lost, Bjugstad is also hurt.
Yeah.
So they've got Barkov, and then their second line center. Yeah, their second line center right now is, I believe it's Trocheck. So
I think Boston probably got worse.
Yeah, they either got worse or they just stayed the same.
Ottawa probably stayed the same. The big question is going to be, how much better are Toronto and Buffalo at this point? I don't think they're that much better. I see us fighting with, like, right in that Ottawa, Montreal, like just that melange of crap in the middle of the Atlantic.
Greg
Wyshynski picked us to finish next to last behind Ottawa. And I think, like, that's where I draw the line. I think I can't see us finishing behind Ottawa. How embarrassing would that be? But I can't see us finishing ahead of Tampa. We would need some real luck to get ahead of Florida. So, I don't know. We're a bubble team again. So we're a bubble team in the entirely in the conference. We're a bubble team in the division.
And, you know, that's what is to be expected. I don't think, you know, anybody was going into this season expecting them to be a contender. Even Ken Holland didn't. So,
I mean, like, you know, I definitely think Toronto is going to improve over last year. You know, I mean, if you watched him in the World Cup and preseason, I mean, you know, I mean, he can't do it by himself. But, I mean, obviously, Austin Matthews seems like he's going to be the real deal. And, you know, he could, you know, if you look at who they got to play with him, I mean, you got William Nylander from last year. I mean, I think they could be a good, kind of duo together. I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be better than last year.
Yeah, they are improving.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tampa, Montreal, Florida, I mean, I think they all probably finish ahead of us, or I mean, they should. You know, like I said, Florida is probably like the one team out of those two, out of those three, that I don't, you know, I mean, they're not a lock because of injuries. You know, then, you know, I mean, you still got Boston's going to be right around us. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Boston is still definitely, I think we're probably still right on tier with Boston at this point. I don't know what to think about Buffalo. Obviously, their defense is still just unfiltered garbage juice. But you know, they did add Kyle Okposo, which does make their team better. So that will be interesting. But they still don't have, like, you know, it's all up on Robin Lehner. You know, he could be good, he could be not good. It's the same thing with Toronto. You have Frederik Andersen, who is their number one goalie now. I know that he's a decent goaltender, but I don't know if he's the kind of goaltender that's going to just give them that extra push. So, you know, there's a lot of questions around our division. I still think we're probably maybe in maybe 5 years, the Atlantic will probably be a power division in the East. But, you know, it's just the Metro is still, I think, you know, you got the Pens, you got the Capitals, you know, the Rangers, who I think they're still kind of bad, but they could still make some noise. And you got the Flyers. They're going young. They've got Konechny and Provorov, who are on their team now. Must be nice. And then the Islanders, they've got Barzal and Beauvillier? I don't know what.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're obviously getting a little bit younger. They signed Parenteau to a contract, and then they were just like, well, see you later, I guess. And then the Devils, I think, are another improved team as well. So,
I mean, I think this year the Islanders definitely take a step back.
Everyone was probably going to get fired.
I mean, I would not be surprised if they don't make the playoffs this year. I mean, everybody talks about losing Okposo. I mean, you guys, you see Nielsen's probably the bigger loss. You know, if you remember at the time, the Islanders fans were, you know, way more upset about losing Nielsen.
Well, maybe that was because they kind of expected Okposo to be gone, and Nielsen was just kind of like just abrupt gone.
Like, could be, yeah.
But no, I agree. I think Nielsen's better than Okposo. So
yeah, but I mean, Capuano is not a good NHL coach. He's gotten lucky that Tavares has basically carried them to the playoffs. And if Tavares wasn't so good, Capuano would have been gone a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and he looks funny too, and I don't like that.
Yeah, Fred Flintstone.
I think the Flyers are easily the third best team in the Metro this year.
Yeah, I think they can make the push because I think Hextall's a good coach. And they have some great players, and they have some good young players. It will really fall on, is Goss Despair going to have, is he going to be able to do that again? Are there younger players going to be able to play up to par? Like, you know, and then they're older, like, obviously, like, you know, you got Giroux and Voracek, who are their mainstays on offense. You know, Giroux is a pretty streaky player, and so is Voracek. So, you know, it's going to be all about how they adjust, and but I do think that they could very well make some noise in that division easily.
And then there's the Blue Jackets as well that you've conveniently left out. The Toronto of the Metro,
because they're going to be a dumpster fire. So that's why.
The question there is, how long does Tortorella last?
I'll be shocked if he makes it through the whole season. I don't think so.
I think he makes it the whole season.
I think Jarmo Kekäläinen is fed up with him by New Year's and gets rid of him. Because, I mean, they've got such a young team with a lot of talent and prospects getting ready to come up, and Tortorella is just going to, like, put thumb screws in all of them.
Yeah. Honestly, totally selfish and totally the also conspiracy theory. Like, I would not have worried about this before this year. Is I am, like, in the very back of the recesses of my brain, worried that Tortorella is going to get fired and then Ken Holland is going to replace Blasho with him.
Stop.
I might have to quit at that point.
The whole OMG line shit is Team USA to a T. And so if that's, like, is really what Ken Holland is doubling down on organizationally, why the hell wouldn't you put that fucking jerk off in charge?
If that does happen, if that legitimately happens, A, JJ, I will not speak to you for at least a few weeks.
I'm not taking blame for that.
No, I know, but I just still, I won't, because you and I will argue over something. I know we will, but honestly, I don't know how I will be able to process. I might need to take a step back and just, like, do a long process of how much Ken Holland has fucked everything up.
Okay, we are already a team that has basically most fans are already, like, have their their second team picked out. We'll just all go to that, right?
Well, yeah.
Same team, right? Should we agree on that beforehand?
No, probably not, because we probably don't agree on it.
Who's our second?
Because I already know yours.
Who is it?
Who's it's mine? Dallas.
Yeah, it is still Dallas. I can't argue against them.
Yours is Dallas. What is Peter? Is the Islanders?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, I think it would be a lot easier if they got rid of Capuano.
So you're going from pain to more pain. Good, smart.
Yeah, I mean, it's all I know.
Mike, do you have a second team, or do you just stay red and white forever?
I'm red and white forever. I grew up away from the Red Wings. I got nobody else, man.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, you just go red and white and just go Carolina.
I grew up in North Carolina, which is the weird thing, but like
that's my team.
Carolina was before or after I left. So, I mean, I've got no connection to that team.
Yeah, Carolina's my team, my second team. And that's because I really like Bill Peters. And I really like Noah Hanifin, and so they are definitely my second team. If the Red Wings go belly up, I will jump on that. And I just like them. I like what they're doing. I think they're probably one of the smartest teams in the league. If the Red Wings start to suck, then go Canes. Which also
care about out west?
No, I really do not care about the West. I wish they would just remove it.
Chicago is going to miss the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, by the way,
Kings will be really good this year.
Did you see that thing with their bottom six today on Twitter? That's pretty amazing.
I didn't see
details.
Here, I'll look it up.
I was just a list of all the bottom six forwards, and like, this is a team that has playoff hopes.
Yeah, they are so like just hogtied by bad contracts. I mean, and I understand. I mean, you have to pay your Jonathan Toews and your. Mm-hmm. Whatever the other dude's
other
name
guy,
is. Brent Seabrook, Kane. Which is a terrible contract. You know, they're hogtied, and they will be for a while. So I mean,
we'll probably never know, but they put in a waiver claim on basically every forward that hit the wire, right?
They had to.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they need those kinds of players so bad, and yeah, so they have they have like a bunch, like their bottom six, there's a bunch of players I've like never heard of.
It's okay, I have it up. It's Tyler Mott, Marcus Kruger, Ryan Hartman. That's their third line.
Okay.
And then their bottom line is, I don't know this guy, Vince Hinostra. Hinostroza, Nick Schmaltz, and Jordan Tutu. That's their bottom six.
Yeah, so Tyler Mott played here at Michigan, so I know him well. He's okay. He's not a third liner in the NHL, I don't think. But
I think the best name out of there might be Kruger.
It's Kruger. And Kruger, weren't they trying to trade him because they can't really afford it at this point?
Yeah,
I thought he
did everything he could to because they were talking like Kruger would have to go in the Yakupov deal. That never happened because he went to St. Louis.
Oh my God, Yakupov too. That's amazing.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
If it weren't for Kruger and Tutu, like you could have listed those guys off and told me they're in a boy band. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I've heard of them.
So, and then I guess other teams around the West, I think that the Avs will probably start to get a lot better now that Shitface McGee isn't coaching them anymore. Mm-hmm. Edmonton. They're not going to be any better. They suck. They always will.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I think Edmonton's better this year.
I know. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess like a fresh turd is a little bit better than an old turd. I don't know. Whatever. But I still think they'll be bad. It'll be fun to watch Connor McDavid. That'll be that's for sure.
Who made the worst trade this offseason? The Edmonton New Jersey trade or the Predators Montreal?
they got way less value for Hall than Montreal got for Subban.
They traded a bottom six or bottom four defenseman for a bona fide top one winger, like top five winger in the NHL. So, and that was a big one. And that's something that I kind of miss in the East. New Jersey, they are absolutely 100% improving. And I think that they will also might make some noise if they can start playing actual hockey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got Schneider in goal. I mean, he's gonna carry you. And I mean, like, they would have been so bad last year without Schneider.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were bad. I mean, they would have been really, really bad. I mean, he kept them from getting, like, a high draft pick.
So I guess since we've pretty much discussed around the NHL, I don't really care about many of the other teams, unless you guys do.
I mean, well, there's Nashville that whole business
with Anaheim. Throw that fart into the wind, but
yeah, we need.
Uber's going to be hilariously bad.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh god, yeah. It will be so good. It will be delicious. Yeah, I can always like just look at that and go, oh man, God, that's bad. They are quickly becoming the Cleveland Browns of hockey, and I love it. So moving on from around the NHL, there's still moves to be made. If you look around the NHL, you've got Jacob Trouba, Hampus Lindholm, who still are unsigned. Jacob Trouba doesn't sound like he's going to be resigning. It sounds like he will basically not play, and they are just going to wait to trade him, or it's basically going to be like another Jonathan Drouin kind of situation, maybe. What were the other ones? The Ducks have Lindholm and Raquel. Did they sign Raquel though? I thought they re-signed him.
No, they were getting closer, but okay. That was per Mr. Bobby Mack, Bobby McKenzie. Okay. Right. So, I mean, okay. Who knows the veracity of that claim?
Yeah, and that's a team that is stocked with bad contracts as well. And Lindholm is a guy that you have to pay.
I think they've only got about $7 million in cap room.
Yeah, they can't afford both.
And apparently Lindholm only wants like six. He's like his ask is super reasonable.
Oh yeah, I'd give him that, and I'd paint his house for him.
Yeah, but Raquel was asking for, and I hope I've got this right off the last one, 6 years at $4 million a year. Which,
yeah, Raquel can fuck off. I don't care about him.
I mean, he did put up 43 points last year, I think.
He's a good player. No, he's a good player.
I don't know that he's worth $4 million yet, though. I mean, he's done it for one season.
I'd say that it might be worth it. But I mean, they paid Brian Kesler how much over how long? So idiots get bent. I'm so glad we didn't do that. Do you guys think that Jacob Trouba is going to get traded to Detroit?
I don't see how.
Okay. No. That's all I needed to say.
Yeah. I think it would have happened already.
I don't know if the only scenario I see Jacob Trouba coming to Detroit is in a trade that will make me extremely mad. like I'm talking like Brendan Smith, Thomas Tatar, and something else. And I will be red, nude, and jumping through the walls.
They're going to trade Mrazek.
Okay.
Click.
Dial tone.
It's like the cartoons. You can just hear the teapot boiling out of Kyle's ears.
Yeah,
there.
And you hear just my clothes being ruffled off, and I'm just running around. Oh, 50 Shades of Red and Nude online. So, I mean, you know, Lindholm, I think that's a deal that'll get done. And you might see the Ducks trying, if they can't come to terms and tell Raquel to chill out and play ball with them, then, yeah, they might have to trade him. Who knows? I mean, I'm not going to trade for him. Obviously, the Red Wings aren't going to trade for him because we have, you know, more forwards than, I don't know, the freaking mailbox? I don't know.
Post office would have been the correct answer.
Yeah.
I hate you all.
book series.
I wish that you guys have a wonderful evening. I'm leaving.
So it'd be so nice on, to have the cap space to kind of screw these teams. Oh, yeah.
No, it would be nice to have the cap space to just go out and be like, hey, Hampus Lindholm, you want 6.5? Yeah, whatever. We'll just mortgage everything, even though we really can't because we don't have that third round pick. So, it would be nice to see an offer sheet because I just love chaos, but it's just not gonna happen. It's just the GMs are like in a boys' club together. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, any kind of offer sheet would have happened well prior to today.
I wouldn't say that. No? I'd say it just comes. Obviously, it's probably. I don't know. Yeah, probably. It would happen today.
Today at the latest.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for sure. So I basically, I mean, Lindholm, Markel, whatever, Trouba, probably going to get traded to Boston, and Boston's going to overpay a lot, and, you know, whatever. It'll be a lateral move for them. Do we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then you never know. Edmonton might trade Nugent Hopkins, and how many more first-round picks do they have? Although that'll probably be the best trade they've made already. Yeah.
And then they'll have Klefbom. He's a first-round. Dreisaitl, yeah. I remember when they were actually like contemplating, like when they were talking about, you know, the trading the Eberle and trading Hall or Nugent Hopkins, like Dreisaitl's name popped in there, and I was like, really? Already? Like, the kid's good. Like, he's a stud. It's just, God, they're just so dumb. I hate Chiarelli. He's ugly, and he sucks.
All right.
Sorry. Anyways, let's go to Positivity Corner. This is where we're going to sit in the corner, and we're all going to tell something nice about each other. JJ, I think you're very handsome, and you do look like Seth Rogen.
Thank you.
And sound like him, too.
You're a wonderful person, Kyle. You're a wonderful bag of rainbow. Wonderful. He's a wonderful. He dresses up like a squirrel superhero.
That's true. It's true. And you know what? Next time,
sorry.
What I do in my free time is none of your goddamn business.
I know. I'm sorry for releasing that. No, you're a bag of rainbows. Peter and Mike, I like you, too.
We like you as well, JJ.
We've never hugged in person, so
that's true.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm hoping. I'm trying to get to Detroit this year. That's my plan.
Yeah, if you don't, then you are not invited to my birthday party.
Okay. So just like every other year.
Shut the hell up. No, you absolutely better come here, or I will scream.
Yeah, I'm doing my best. I really want to come. I should be able to. Maybe sometime over the winter is probably the best bet. Early spring.
Time to come in Detroit. It's beautiful here in the winter.
The weather is just lovely.
Hope you like the color gray.
You take what you can get.
Oh, man. Are you going to say anything nice, Mike, or are you just going to be mean?
Oh, God, it would be so great to just be mean and be a dick. But Kyle and JJ, you are some excellent, fearless leaders, and saw fit enough to give me the opportunity here, so that means you're pretty awesome. And Peter, you are a great sounding board for fantasy hockey and all the other crackpot ideas I've got. So thumbs up to everybody.
Right.
And none of us were stupid enough to suggest that the Wings sign Lucic like Edmonton did. So you know, we're all A pluses there.
So. I was on that bandwagon for a minute. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you never seriously said it. I'm just going to deny that.
Calling him human trash so much better.
Yeah, I know. I would have deleted that.
And I would say I'm a huge fan of JJ's awesome/awful puns on Twitter. I genuinely like them, even though I groan and laugh with about the same time.
there are some days where he will just catch me on a bad day, and his pun will make me mad. And I'll just be sitting at my computer and go, God, fuck you, JJ.
That's what I'm going for.
I know it is.
And Kyle, I'm a huge fan of your dog pictures. I mean, a lot of other things, but you know that in particular. And Mike's in my fantasy league this year, which is awesome because we needed a manager that knows hockey and cares, and yeah, so that's really cool.
Yeah, it still doesn't explain why you picked me, but I'm glad to be in.
This has been a really nice session of Positivity Corner. You know what? I don't know. Are we gonna?
Here's what we got. Questions.
Reader questions. Yeah, we got reader questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Positivity Corner was great. We should do that more often. Probably won't once hockey starts, though, because we'll just, you know, hate everything, hate each other. Reader questions, as always, we love doing those because we love talking to our readers and our friends. And JJ usually does that because he is a tyrant, and he will have it no other way. I've tried to seduce him into not doing it, but he just wants it this way. So JJ, go ahead and start reading questions and maybe I guess we'll answer them.
God, you just got an NSYNC song stuck in my head right off the bat. Thanks. Eight-Legged Al wants to know, would you rather, one, have the Wings bomb this season around 80 points, proving their current roster management is completely flawed, even if it results in no changes to the front office, or two, have one of those oddball seasons where everything on paper tells us otherwise, but this team still manages to pull together a decent year, gets into the playoffs, and gets past the first round?
If those are my only two choices, I have to take number two, even though I'm 100% against it, you know, because it seems like it would almost be the worst thing is like if we have a terrible season and nothing changes, you know, we have a terrible season and no lessons are learned. So because of that, I'd have to take the one that has success, even though I think it would be for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I am absolutely 100% on board for going into the playoffs and getting to the second round. Because that means we would have made it to the second round, and that's fun. Like, I'm sorry that more hockey isn't fun for you if you want to tank out the season. And I'm not convinced that Ken Holland is the person that needs to be rebuilding this team. So,
yeah, Kyle nailed it. It's no brainer. Just go for the happy, fun season.
Yeah.
The positive.
Well, J88 wants to know, how is it important that Larkin take the next step and becomes the first center this season? Or do you think that's not really possible or in the cards until next year?
I'm not sure that's in the cards this season. But if it could happen, I mean, isn't that kind of the ideal scenario? I mean,
it's ideal. I don't think it's necessary.
I don't think it's going
to happen. Yeah, I mean, for this year, we've got Nielsen and Zetterberg, who could, in theory, if they had to, take first C responsibilities, right? So
I think Zetterberg's time as a center as a first line center should be done.
I agree, but in a pinch, like something happens to Nielsen, Larkin's not showing he's ready, we can have Zetterberg step in. It's serviceable.
Yeah.
But man, if Larkin could just step up and be able to tell that line of Nielsen Z and it's not Abby they're putting with him, right?
No, it's Tatar.
Yeah.
If that line could just get relegated to second shift duties, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess we all agree for the most part, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Would you rather have the OMG line be great producer and effective shutdown line, or have them fail, causing Holland to call up some kids?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think we're all going to the second one, right?
I mean, does that mean the OMG line do some of them go on waivers?
If Holland's going to call up kids, I think that's kind of the implication.
Somebody else, yeah. We'll pretend like, yes, the OMG line's failure forces the team into specifically replacing the OMG line, not doing something else stupid.
Absolutely.
Right. Down on it.
100 times outside, in the rain, butt naked. Yes.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
I'm probably like 40, 60. I'd totally swallow my pride and have the OMG line just surprise everybody. Like, great producer, effective shutdown line for your fourth line. If your fourth line is doing that, I think the rest of your lines are doing a really good job. And I don't know. I don't care about my pride in the kids that much. I don't think it'll happen, but.
All right. Well, cool. Enjoy the contracts that they hand out after that, then.
Yeah, that's what I'd be afraid of is the long-term damage it would do. Because, I mean, to run the kind of fourth line that they want to be running, you really need to have, like, a Crosby, Malkin, Kessel set up ahead of you, like what Pittsburgh's doing. I mean, they're trying to run it just like a shutdown line. You can't do that when you don't have, and I hate to say that we don't have this, but bona fide superstars up front.
That would mean that the fourth line wouldn't work, though, right? See? Y'all have to have all of these things there. I don't know.
Yeah, but if we have a fourth line that quote-unquote works, and say the rest of the team is still just doing on par, I'm afraid that it cements this philosophy of the fourth line grind line or fourth line tough guys or whatever in Ken Holland's head, not to say that it's not already chained down with irons there now, but it's,
I don't know. I think we're caught up.
I feel like it hurts.
Like the question specifically said, great producer too.
Mm.
What's a great producer for a fourth line? 40 goals?
40 goals for the fourth line would be fucking amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. You're winning. And if that's the case, the Stanley Cup at that point.
The rest of the league is not, at least in 41 games, is not going to let you make that your fourth line if they're that good, unless your other three lines are still better than them. So.
Well, what? You got 10, 10, and 15, or 15, 15, and 10?
That's still really, really good.
Yeah, for a fourth line.
Like, you're talking anywhere like 10 goals. Like, if you can split 30 goals between the three of them. Like, even that is like, god damn, that's good.
It's a logical trap, because if they go, like, that well, then they're no longer the fourth line, then the question doesn't matter. See, I'm forcing it. They have to remain the fourth line. So, that's not specifically what the question is, but that's just what I'm saying. If they're that good, yes, I'll take that. I don't care. Groot Scott wants to know, how many goals do you think Pulkkinen scores during the season and against the Red Wings?
Well, he gets the Hattie against the Wings, naturally, in the first game that faces.
I say he scores, let's say, a max of 15 goals.
I don't think he cracks double digits.
I think he does.
When is the Red Wings one game, or what other two games against Minnesota?
I don't know.
I think there's a real good chance like he's not even on their roster by then.
I mean, you could be right.
I don't know. Somebody else look it up, and I'll just go with it, because I don't feel
like, I mean, Minnesota, I think we were talking about this earlier privately, but Minnesota's not exactly a deep team, right? No. So, I mean, he might not be placed in a role where he's going to have the tools to succeed partway through the season, but I don't know that he comes out of the lineup.
I still say probably 15 goals.
I'd give him 18 to 20.
Wow.
Because they're essentially going to slot him right into the role that they were using Vanek as, assuming. So he did, what, 18 in like 70 games last year, which includes a couple scratchings for bad attitude. So assume Pulkkinen can stay healthy. I think he's got the possibility of matching that over 82 games. That's
another thing. You don't know if Pulkkinen's going to stay healthy.
Yeah.
He's got that shoulder issue. I have a feeling he takes, like maybe give him, like, five games of him just ripping shots like that. Who knows?
Yeah.
February 12th.
The same shoulder both times?
Yeah,
it was the same one.
February 12th and March 26th, Pulkkinen does not play a game against the Red Wings this year. That's my prediction.
Okay.
What is this offseason's spirit animal? Asks Lar Kanik and Skywalker.
Spirit animal.
What?
Duck-billed platypus.
The duck. You gotta bring the duck. There you go.
Yeah, stop. Stop. I don't know. I'd say the spirit animal would be Buffalo Trace. Whiskey.
Right. No, I got nothing.
I'm gonna say honey badger, because like it was relevant a few years ago and everybody thought that was like so fucking great, but really just tiny and annoying and yeah.
All right, sure.
Capit wants to know, what's your favorite breed of cat, dog, or preferred home animal?
Boston Terrier.
Horse.
Yeah, I mean, I got two tabby cats and, you know, I love them, so gotta go with that.
My favorite breed is rescued.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's not my line. Wish I could take credit for it.
Yeah,
you could.
Human child. I got three kids. They're great. I don't like my dogs anymore. Cop out answer. Suck it. My family didn't even listen to this, so I'm not even getting brownie points. I don't care.
What?
Okay. Pick one of each set. A, Ken Holland gets fired at the end of the year and the Red Wings win the Stanley Cup final in the next 5 years. Or, two, Ken Holland doesn't get fired and the Wings manage to pull off a miracle season and win the Stanley Cup this year, but don't make the playoffs for the next 5 years.
Two.
One.
Two. Give me the cup now. Are you serious?
But we still get it.
What?
We still get it in one. We just don't get it this year.
Guaranteed the cup sometime in the next 5 years under one.
And plus, okay, we could still make the playoffs.
We're guaranteed not to make the playoffs again in after
scenario two.
This year
in
scenario
I'm sorry. Give me the cup now.
Hey, you're wrong. This one. Okay. The next set. B1, Ken Holland waves the entire OMG line and brings up three kids who play extremely well, but we miss the playoffs anyway. Or two, the OMG line is magically successful and we squeak into the playoffs only to lose in the first round again.
One.
Give me two.
I see the pattern here.
Oh, I hate all of these.
I will always take the cup as soon as possible.
But we don't get the cup in number two.
Lose in the first round.
What was that?
Two is the OMG line is magically successful and we squeak into the playoffs only to lose in the first round again.
Oh, then I misheard you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Versus three kids come up and play extremely well, but we miss the playoffs.
I guess I'd just give me the kids then.
Yeah, I'd go for one. We're only getting five extra games under the OMG line playing well. No thanks.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's see. Does anyone else now feel uneasy about Mantha, Svechnikov, and Bertuzzi, but also Sproul, Rellet, Hookers, blah, 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 blah? Like, maybe they're all biding their time now until they're eventually placed on waivers. No, I don't want to answer. This is a stupid.
Yeah, that's. I don't want to think like that. I'm sorry if you want to think like that, but I refuse to do that.
Yeah. M. Bells has an honest Erickson question, which is good. He'd look good in a top hat and a beard, wouldn't he? Anyway, is there a legitimate reason he isn't waived for the
first? Just don't go to the theater.
Don't worry, shots never hit him anyway.
Oh, God.
Is there a legitimate reason he isn't waived for the purpose of moving to the AHL? Is he not eligible? Do they not want to pay him to play in the Swedish Mafia? Upsetting the captain. Wait,
who is this again? Erickson?
Erickson.
Yeah, basically can't figure out why. Like, he can be waived and sent to Grand Rapids. He's not going to. I don't think it's Swedish Mafia. I think that the team, like, literally is in love with his side. They like how he is still a decent penalty killer, and they love that. And they basically just see all of his mistakes as, oh, well, he's still coming out of it. He makes more good defensive plays, the stay-at-home guy. I think the organization just likes him more than we do.
No, he's not going to be late. He'll retire before he gets one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I know we like to posit on, you know, what's going on and what we see, and humans are kind of biased into thinking that we always have all the information. But, I mean, the guys inside, Blashill and Holland and them, they do have massive amounts more information than we do on how these guys are playing and how they look in practice and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, we see the results in the games and they're not that good. So how can the practice be any better? But maybe there's something they're seeing. Maybe.
Yeah, it goes back to the Rutherford piece about how, like, he just knows. Like, it's true. They know way more. That's a good point, Mike. Let's see. What are you most excited for this coming season?
I would say Nielsen. I mean, I know that sounds like a broken record at this point, but I mean, I think, you know, when I saw before we were doing Positivity Corner, I thought it was going to be about the Red Wings, and that was like the first thing that came to mind. You know, it's like, I think, you know, I'm really excited to see how he plays this year. And, you know, I'm hoping that he can help, like we were talking about before. You know, we want Larkin to make the transition to number one center. And I think that Nielsen is going to be really important in helping him get there.
Yeah, it's seeing Larkin as a second line center, and Nielsen, obviously, I'm excited about that. But I'm really excited to see how the kid reacts to it. I want to see him put the big boy pants on and, you know, shut that sophomore slump narrative, you know, shut it right up. So, and I believe that he can. So,
I think Tatar's going to get his groove back.
That would be sweet.
How Tatar got his groove back?
Yeah,
that would be.
Did
sweet.
He go down to Jamaica?
Otherwise, he's the next Hudler.
I think I'm most excited for if we're all picking players here. Maybe Thomas Vanek.
Really?
Yeah, and, just because it feels like Kenny's had a while since he's had like a really standout signing, and I feel like the easy answer for a standout signing is probably going to be Nielsen. Probably don't want to jinx it, but I mean,
you are now though.
I know, but yeah. He's tried these reclamation projects for a while. I mean, Madonna and Alfredson at the end of their careers. Not that it was difficult to see those as good signings, but you know, Madonna didn't necessarily work out. But then, you know, the Cole trade, Steven Weiss, all of these things, like people have been harping on him for about for a while now. And they're bad in retrospect, but we had no way of knowing that, almost no way of knowing that going into these. And it's just, it feels like it, there needs to be a year where the signings work out and Thomas Vanek, after getting bought out, benched for his attitude in Buffalo and out in Minnesota, it would be a great feel good story, and I'd love to see it happen.
So, I don't think he hits 20 goals.
Thanks.
Being honest with you, dude.
I think the chemistry that he showed with Nyquist on Saturday was really, really promising. I liked that a lot. NMU asked the question that we should probably take a stab at right now. Essentially, if we had the Datsyuk trade to do all over again, should we have just gone ahead and taken Chychrun?
I can go both ways on it, honestly. Going back, I'd still be, if they didn't do it, I'd be okay taking Chychrun or Favreau. Like, I'd be okay with that, like, in retrospect. At the time, I'd probably be a little bit upset. Like, you know, if I found out that I knew there was a deal on the table, I'd probably be like, are you serious? But, you know, I mean, if you think about the team right now, if they were strapped with that cap hit, things would be pretty ugly, I think. You know, obviously they'd be forced into playing young players, but they'd be playing these young players in roles that I don't think would be very pleasant. So I don't know. It could go either way, but
yeah, I think there's a real chance that what would have happened with that, without trading Datsyuk, I don't think the Red Wings end up with Nielsen. Without signing Nielsen, I think that what happens is that Larkin would have gotten, there's a real good chance of Larkin getting exposed and hurt by that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we might have had Chychrun, but what would the effect have been on our hopeful future number one center to get that guy? I don't know. Like right now, if you make me make the choice, I'll say no. I would do that trade over again. I am going to say I'm totally comfortable changing my mind later.
Mm. Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
If Chychrun turns out to be a stud, and yeah, sure, you could, and you know what, that is going to be a storyline with this fan base for so friggin' long.
I can't remember for sure, like, if we didn't make that trade, do we still have the money to get Nielsen? I mean, I know I'm not saying like we would have, but like, will we still have had the money to do it? I think so, right?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, if that's the case,
I thought we had about $4 million in room.
I can't remember. I mean, if that's the case, then I mean, I think,
well,
you know, the only go.
If they would have let Helm go, then
yeah, but they wouldn't have.
No,
they wouldn't. Well, okay, yeah. Sorry,
essentially, we would have re-signed Helm, not signed Nielsen, Vanek, or Ott. Maybe they would have signed Ott anyway, but we'd still have Pulkkinen and Firk as massive unknowns. We'd have AA on the roster, which we're going to have anyway. We'd possibly have Mantha on the roster.
Yeah.
Miller re-signed anyway, regardless.
Yeah, I think the only off-season acquisition that we made that we had to was Nielsen. You know, just because, I mean, that was just such a large gaping hole, and we needed to fill that hole. And I think he was, out of all the available people, you know, obviously Stamkos wasn't available. I mean, he was the only, I think he was the best choice out of all of this.
Yeah, usually.
You know, yeah, you know, basically what JJ said before. I mean, I think that's an acquisition we had to make. And so, yeah, if it would have kept us from getting Nielsen, like I said, I can't remember, then, I mean, I have to be against that then.
Yeah. Second part of that question is, do you think this next offseason the Red Wings buy out Erickson?
No.
Nope. I think he retires.
Yeah, he will retire before he is bought out or put on waivers.
Yeah.
Or he will LTIR retire.
Mm.
Back on the chicken thing, just real quick. I just really hope that Dennis Cholowski kicks ass. That guy's going to get so unfairly blamed if he's not like...
Oh, yeah, he will get shit all over.
It's going to take a while, right? I mean, it's going to take him, three, 4 years probably to be ready?
Yeah, they'll let him ride out. They'll let him ride out at St. Cloud State for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan Borsman wants to know which Morrissey song best encapsulates your emotional state going into the regular season. I'm punting this. I don't know any Morrissey songs. I'm sorry.
I'm with you, JJ, so I got to pass.
I would say... I would say Irish Blood, English Heart.
I don't really know. I mean, all I know is like one Smith song. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I should know more. I'm sorry. Just savage me in the comments for this. I don't care. I have bad music taste. How bad were the Wings waiver wire losses in context in terms of the rest of the NHL?
I don't know. Like... Parenteau is a pretty bad loss. That's a pretty bad loss. I think that Parenteau is worse than them combined. Yes.
I think so, Seth Griffith might have been at least on Bulk's level as far as
Seth Griffith is a decent hockey player. So yeah, no, there are definitely other waiver losses that are a little meh.
Yeah, but did any team lose two players?
No.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, but I just said us. Parenteau is combined. It's essentially the same thing in my eyes.
Yeah.
Ferg would have never made this team. That's it. He would have never made it.
Who outperformed expectations the most this season, offense and defense?
Marchenko and... I'm going to go with... No, I'm not going to say that.
You're going to say Ott, weren't you?
Yeah, say Ott.
I was going to say Ott, but I'm not going to say Ott.
There's no expectations on the guy. One goal is outperforming it.
No, because if he exceeds my expectations, I'll be even more mad and I'll hate him even more. So I got Marchenko, and then I've got... I'm going to go with... what's his nuts? Riley Sheahan.
Oh yeah,
God damn you, Kyle!
Riley Sheahan, baby, he's gonna break out the shell. He's gonna score a million goals for puppies and kitties.
You took both my answers.
Good, good. Screw your answers; they suck anyways.
They're your answers, though.
Yeah. Shut up.
Just burn yourself.
Yeah.
Wait, Mike, do you have backup answers? I don't want to take yours again.
You can say the same thing.
I mean, that would be hilarious, though.
No. Okay. Defense, I'm going to say Brendan Smith, just because.
All right, Jeff.
Maybe after so long, people have stopped expecting things of him, and pairing him with Green, I think, is going to be the moneymaker for him.
The mass of this fan base does not expect anything from him. That's what's so funny.
Yeah. So if the expectations are zero, and he gets to Steve Ott syndrome. And then I'm gonna go with Anthony Mantha for exceeding expectations. I think at some point he's gonna get up and he's gonna stay up.
That's a great answer. I like it.
I'm gonna go Mike Green. I'm going to say he's kind of more like what we had hoped. And let's go real positive and say Dylan Larkin.
Okay.
All right. Picking the answers that nobody else has picked before. Danny DeKeyser makes everybody go like, whoa, he actually is a number one D-man. And Henrik Zetterberg for forwards. Because I think he's just like totally overlooked. And there's a real good chance that he has kind of like a renaissance season.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Larkin Forever says, can you refer to Team Europe as the Decepticons again? Yes, Team Europe is the Decepticons. B-Kurt58.
Easy.
Some of these questions are great, though. Between Sproul and Ouellette, who plays more this year?
Ouellette.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll let.
I think Sproul. Just because they've seen what Ouellette has to offer in the past.
And that's why.
That's a very good counterpoint.
I will take your thunder and I will shove it up your ass. How does that sound? Oh,
man. Not pleasant.
Ow.
What was the most positive thing that happened this offseason?
Dylan Sadowai.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'd say Dylan Sadowai.
Any other answers?
I mean, I'd just say Nielsen again. I know it's a broken record, but...
I had a Coke machine give me 2 bottles at a hotel this summer. It's just the best thing.
I'm going to say Huda and Torchetti.
Oh, that's good too, yeah.
Torchetti, by the way.
Torchetti. Sorry.
Torchetti. Does the coach or GM decide if the player skate in Detroit or Grand Rapids?
What?
Does the coach or GM decide if the player skate in Detroit or Grand Rapids? Basically, how will the rotating AA Mantha thing be decided? How do other teams do it? Is it an equal decision?
It's got to be an equal, yeah.
The GM decides who goes to which city, and the coach decides who gets on the ice. Obviously, yeah. There's some interplay there, but it's still probably 60% Ken Holland's decision,
yeah.
If not 70.
Yeah.
Holmes from 96 asks simply, what the fuck?
That's a good question.
The only answer I can give you is yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of not asking it, but I got 5 wrecks, so I'm going to give the people what they want.
This is the people's radio.
Yeah.
Firepower, do you think the waiver losses over the last few years really hurt us as an organization? Who was, is potentially the biggest loss? Any of Pulkkinen and Ferk, Ferraro, Nestrasil, et cetera, you'd like to have in the lineup now? Or would current Grand Rapids Griffins have better value?
Current Griffins would have better value. I'd rather have Mantha than Pulkkinen. I'd rather have Svechnikov than Pulkkinen. And Pulkkinen is on top of the list for me. No players like Ferraro, Nestrasil, Pulkkinen, Ferk, unless they turn into prolific elite hockey players or not even elite hockey players. I mean, unless that happens, which odds are that's not going to happen. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's not the fact that we're losing these certain players. It's the fact that we are just losing players without anything to show for it. It's not the players. It's just the asset management and the complete blunder that is what Ken Holland is doing. And that's just, fuck it. Yard sale. Take it. I don't care. Yeah, that's actually supposed to be 50 cents. But you know what? Why don't you just go ahead and take it? It's yours. So, I mean, I definitely, like, I could name, let's see, Timo Pulkkinen, who's the top of the list. Who would I rather have in the NHL over him? If it meant we have Tyler Bertuzzi, Mantha, Athanasiou, or Svechnikov in the NHL, see you later, Pulkkinen. Mm. You're out.
Yeah, I don't think either or any of us are going to improve on Kyle's answer there, so I'm just going to move on to the next question.
Yeah. I'm good with it.
You bet. S19, super positive question here. Just looking at the season, do you feel we are a better team this year than last? And I know the instant knee-jerk reaction is no, but I feel we have every reason to think so. Our D is bad, but it didn't get worse. Our forwards, in my opinion, are improved as a whole. Blash is now in his second year, and sounds as if our player usage will be better, not leaning on Datsyuk and Zetterberg at all times. I see us in a better playoff position than we were last year. Am I wrong?
No.
Well,
I think they could both be true, though. I think we could be a better team, but not be in a better playoff position, because like we were talking about before, you know, Montreal's got Price back, you know, et cetera. You know, I think they could both be true.
It really does fall on the team is, as a whole, the defense didn't get better. The offense, I think, did get better. It falls on goaltending a little bit. Like, one of those two needs to not slip.
I mean, it also things like, you know, is our power play going to be more effective? You know, are we going to utilize the players we have better than we did last year? And if the answer is yes, then sure. Yeah, of course we could, be better this year.
I agree.
I think we've got every reason to expect that the power play is going to be better this year than next year. And I mean, of course, it means nothing until we see it proven out on the ice. But I mean, we were pretty pedestrian last year, if I remember. I think like 14 and 16 on special teams. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, there's room to go down, but with the additions we made personnel-wise and mm-hmm. coach-wise, I don't think... I think it would be harder for us to move down than to move up. Now, Peter, like you were saying, like we mentioned earlier, whether we moved up enough to actually make a difference compared with other teams' competitive gains is another story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. If we end up, like, way, way worse, the end of season narrative is like, oh, shit, we saw this coming, too. Mm. So, they're probably better, but, like, you can't confidently enough say that yeah we are better, but there is tons and tons and tons of reasons for positivity. Specifically, he talked about Blashill being a second year, maybe making this more his own team. I still think that's possible. There are questionable lineup decisions that I don't like, but it's not exactly like they're entirely always proven to be bad. It's just, I think it's a little bit behind the times. But you get that working out. You get the defense just reshuffled a little bit. You get more consistent goaltending. And yeah, there's a real good shot of positivity in this team that I'm excited about seeing.
Mm.
So we'll lead that right into Bill H's question. Mm. What exactly do you think Ken Holland and Jeff Blash will see that the rest of us don't?
Is their player analysis
eye test outdated? In their world, in order to ice a lower middle performing team, is it necessary to spend to the cap maximum? Can you see a way to upgrade and blah, blah, blah? Basically, why do Ken Holland and Jeff Blash not obey us?
No team obeys their fans. Like,
yeah, but they're... No other team has fans as smart as we are.
That's true. No, you are absolutely right. And or as handsome.
Right.
It's virile. I don't know. Obviously, they see stuff that we don't see. Whether or not it's BS or if it's snake oil, they're trying to whatever. I don't know. Obviously, there's not much to see with Steve. I don't know what you'd see in practice that you see that, like, I don't know. I mean, every player
hurting his own player.
Yeah. Or, like, what, making jokes with, like, the other guys. Like, come on, boys, let's go. Pick it up there, you little whatever. Like, a rascal.
Yeah, you scamp. Oh, you scamp.
Yeah. You little scallywag there, you little fart knocker. I don't know. Whatever. I don't care. But we see things that they obviously aren't seeing either, though. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, these guys, they're at the rink for... what, 4, 6, 8 hours a day? I mean, this is their job, the players and the coaches. So, I mean, the coaches aren't just looking at game film and seeing what happened. I mean, yeah, that has to be a big part of it. Everybody's sitting down and seeing where they screwed up and where they played well. But the coaches are also seeing how these guys are performing in the weight room, how they're running on physical tests, and I'm sure they're tracking that data somehow. They're running drills, they're running scrimmages, they're seeing how these guys are playing against our own team. They're probably even having some guys mimic opposition just to see how they're going to stack up against different schemes and different styles of players. So in terms of what the coaching staff sees that we don't, a hell of a lot. But at the end of the day, how much does it matter if what's on the ice sucks?
Right. No,
Erickson.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. We do have to believe that they've got more of the story, and that story is, once again, referring back to the Jim Rutherford piece on the Players Tribune, if you haven't read that, go find it. You know, he's just got all this information to deal with, and it's stuff that we're not privy to.
Right.
So, like, when he, you know, when he brings back Erickson, it's... or he continues to give him a piece, or even when he signed Erickson to that contract, knowing about his hip, he knew all that shit. Then it's kind of our job to, like, kind of piece together what exactly that means. Because I do think Ken Holland is a sucker for a story.
Perfect. Like, yeah.
That's Steve Ott right there. Steve Ott is a fun story. He grew up in Windsor. He loved the Red Wings growing up, and now he finally gets a chance to come, and he does make the locker room more fun. And I've complained in the last few years that I wasn't sure that the Red Wings team actually liked each other, and I was worried that there wasn't enough fun. So I'm not saying it's a worthless consideration. It's something to be seen. And honestly, if it works out, great. But we've seen Ken Holland and his decision-making process on stories that hasn't worked out very well with a lot of decisions. And, you know, I like the good stories too, and I would love for that all to work out. But, you know, in reality, the kid learning karate from, like, the rando shut-in is going to get his ass kicked by the kids who spend every freaking day at the dojo learning shit.
Right.
Someday, like, common sense has to take over. Analytics should be more factored in. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to say it is entirely the story, but I'm afraid Ken Holland has an aversion to them that is unhealthy. As far as Blashill is concerned, I need to see that this is going to be Blashill's team, because so far it kind of hasn't looked like it, and I don't want to keep giving him excuses, and this year he's not going to get excuses. If the bus falters, it's going to have plenty of gas to run him right the fuck over. That's the way it's going to be. I'm not going to get to, oh, well, you know, Kenny Holland is still pulling the strings. Fuck you. If your second year, get shit done or get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, that's a good answer. So I agree. I think that your analogy was quite perfect about the kid at the dojo.
I just hate the Karate Kid. So I just fucked up an entire generation. It's a bad story. He was an asshole the whole time.
But I mean, at the same time, and I don't want to go saying that this is true of everybody out there, but I know we're going to get people commenting that, you know, these guys are professionals and they should be able to do their job regardless of the fun level of everything, because that's what, you know, 99% of the rest of us go through. We go through our jobs without having fun during the day, and then we have our fun when we get home. But like for some of these guys, being on the ice and having fun gives them that extra little bit of ability. And Peter, I'm sure you see this in the high school sports that you coach, where when the guys and girls aren't having fun, they try less. Now, that's not to say that these guys shouldn't be above something like that, but it does have to kind of factor in once in a while.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So moving on, we got a couple more questions. We gotta get this wrapped up here. So JJ,
I was getting fucking tired. Effing G, positivity. How about Tatar practicing on that top line with Zetterberg and Nielsen, huh? Neat, right?
Yeah, pretty sexy. I like it. Makes me happy in my pants.
If you had the power to instantly alter one cliche hockey narrative forever, but doing so would make all the other narratives permanent, would you do it, and what would be your altered narrative? So, for instance, you know, you want to get rid of the all Euros are soft narrative, but doing so would make so the, like, fighting deters cheap shots and grit with the championship, like, nobody ever overcomes that. Would you trade one narrative for that?
I think the fighting deters cheap shots.
I think based on the way the question is phrased, I would not do it, because I think there are enough bad narratives that whichever one I chose, I would be left with, you know, the way it's worded, I would be left with all these other bad narratives that were now permanent.
I'd go with fighting deters.
I think I'm with Peter on this one.
I also agree with Peter. I would not get rid of one narrative to cement all the rest of them.
You're all three
if
wrong.
If I were to get rid of one specific narrative, it would be the fighting deters cheap shots. But I can't cement all the other narratives just to do that.
Sports it just needs narratives.
Mm.
That's true, yeah. We'd all get new garbage narratives anyway.
It's true. So,
all right, Kyle, close us up.
All right, sounds good. Well, this has been fun. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Hockey season is almost here, so I hope that you are excited for it, because if you're not, then just screw you. Like, just be excited for something and love something, please. Find something that you love. We're all excited. Whatever happens, happens. But my happy ass is going to have some fun watching the Red Wings play because that's my favorite team and I like them. And I am so sorry for liking something if that upsets you. So for me, Kyle, Mikey, Peter, and JJ, I wish you a pleasant day and a wonderful evening. This has been Wing It in Motown Radio. We'll talk to you next time. Fart, fart.